morning. Today's daf in Beitza is daf Lamed Beis. We thank the Lupin Foundation sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. Lazer Chanishmas Lalos Lupin Zoltzman. We start the Mishnah on Lamed Alf Amud Beis. Mishnah is now going to take us through a number of other scenarios in which things you can and cannot do on Yontif. It's a continuation of the discussion we had so far in the fourth parak. We've been spending the last couple of days talking about getting wood, accessing wood. And we've been discussing issues of Muktzah. We continue discussing issues of Muktzah, but now we're going to be talking about not accessing wood. We're going to talk about accessing food. So, Bai Shehu Malai Pera. So, you have a house that's full of fruit. It's a house. Just to make it just a little bit easier to visualize, maybe it's just a room filled with fruit. Hard to imagine the entire house is filled with fruit, but anyway, whatever. You have some sort of building, or let's call it even a room, and it's sealed and it's filled with fruit. So v'nivchas, and then one of the walls comes down, and Rashi points out it happened on its own. You didn't do anything. So noto mimakom apchas. So one is allowed to access the food from where the wall caved in. V'nivchas mimakom apchas. Rabbi Meir Omer af pochisach hatchila v'notel. Rabbi Meir allows you to go right in there lechatchila and to take it. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi and the Mishnah. Noto mimakom apchas. The Rashi over here helps us navigate through some of the issues. V'lo amrina muksa machmas esterhein. So Rashi says, here's what the Mishnah is navigating ourselves around. In other words, what should be? Should be that the fruit is muksa. Should be. Why? Because Rashi makes the argument that in order for me to have gained access into that room, I would have to knock down a wall. Knocking down a wall, that's dira. So that means that the fruit right now is in a situation going into Yontif where I can't access it, and the only way I can access it is by violating a malacha. So now we have a concept of muksa ben ashmashos, and we have a concept of migu. And the concept of migu says that once something is muksa ben ashmashos, it will be muksa for the duration of Yontif and for Shabbos. This is a migu dis katsai ben ashmashos is katsai kule yoma. Should be muksa the entire day. So Rashi writes, "Dein yachol apascha b'yomtov asach daita minayhu." You can't open it on Yontif, and therefore your mesiach das, your mind is not on it. The cave under law have a psichaso isur daraita kidemukmin Allah be avir to live near Allah muksa nenu. So Rashi over here says a chiddush, and Rashi says, well, you know, the Gemara is going to tell us. We haven't seen the Gemara together yet, but that's fine. We'll see it in just a moment. The Gemara is going to tell us that this particular house was a house built with bricks, but the bricks were not mortared together. So in other words, they were just basically bricks stacked one on top of another. And it is prohibited to disassemble such a house, but it's only rabbinically prohibited to disassemble such a house. And so now Rashi over here is going to say a chiddush, which is that the concept of migudis katsai ben ashmashos is only when it's muksa machmas iser de oraisa. But if it's muksa machmas iser de rabbanan, so we don't invoke the concept of migu. Rashi says, kedama gabi tevel v'shuli pirkin, shumuchan etzosha b'shim avrev tikna mesukan. Rashi says, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's talk about tevel. Tevel is fruit where I did not take off shumas amaisos. On Shabbos, on Yontif, there is a rabbinic prohibition that one's not allowed to take off shumas amaisos. Fine. And what if you did? Meaning, I know the rabbis told us that we're not allowed to do it, but what if I did? Are you allowed to eat the fruit on Yontif and on Shabbos? Yes. So the Gemara says, yes, you are. Now, wait a second. Going into Shabbos, going into Yontif, that fruit is asur mid derabanan. It's muksa machmas iser derabanan. And because of a rabbinic injunction, I'm not allowed to take off shumas amaisos. And yet, if I violate the iser derabanan, so then you can eat the fruit. So you see that the concept of migu iskatsai ben ashmashos only applies by isurei d'araisa, not by isurei d'rabanan. That's what Rashi says. It's a big chiddush. You could take a look at Tosos over here. Tosos divra masla v'nivchas, where Tosos goes to task on Rashi. On this chiddush, it's an exceptionally big chiddush, but that's what Rashi says, and that's how Rashi understands our Mishnah. So again, the house that comes in, that collapses on Yontif, even though going into Yontif it was muksa, and it was and as the Gemara is going to point out, the bricks were not mortared together. There was no paste holding the bricks together. Nevertheless, it'd be prohibited to disassemble the house. But because the disassembling of the house is only an Issa Durabanan, so Rashi says we don't have the principle of Migu. And therefore, if the wall were to come down, so therefore you could access the fruit. That's Rashi and the Mishnah. Rashi gives us really a sod gadol, a fundamental principle in terms of the rules of migu, and we go on in the Gemara.
So let's say in the Mishnah, the wall was what? Also not mortared?
Not mortared together. The Gemara is going to say it. Okay, so the Gemara says, in fact, the Gemara is going to say it right now. V'hamar Rav Nachman, sorry, I just skipped. Amai v'akasasar olalo. So the Gemara says, stir us ohel. You can't take a house down. In other words, what the Gemara is asking is that the you're talking about Nisa Daraisa. So how can the food be mutter? So Amar Rav Nachman. Yeah, but still, in other words, the Gemara's question. Correct, but still, it's in other words, but then that means that during the Benesh Mashas period. Right. Okay, that's the Gemara's question. In other words, it should have been Moksa because there's an Issur Daraisa preventing you from accessing. So Amar Rav Nechumi Bar Arda Amar Shmuel Be'avir Delivnei. So the Gemara's answer is the bricks were not mortared together, so they were just kind of piled one on top of the other. Eniv Amar Rav Nachman Hani Livni Diasimi Binyana Charlotte Tatulam B'Shabasa. So the Gemara is Ho V'Chaz L'Mizga Alayhu. So the Gemara says, hold on 1 second. Bricks are bricks Moksa. So the Gemara says, well, if you're constructing your house, and you finish constructing your house, and they're leftover bricks are not moksa. The Gemara says, a person could sit down on them. In other words, they could be used for chairs. Sharginu, however, if I pile the bricks up even after construction, which means that, yes, right now I don't need these bricks for this house. But you know what? We'll plan to use the bricks for another house. So if I pile them up, vada aktsinu. So then the bricks become moksa. So the Gemara is now bothered by the fact that even if I piled the bricks one on top of the other, so still shouldn't they be aser? I'm Rabbi Zera, b'yom tov amar v'lo b'shabbos. So Rabbi Zera says, no, we're talking about a yantov and not a Shabbos. We're talking about a yantov. What's the difference between yantov and Shabbos? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says hita Rabbi Meir, meaning again, right? In our Mishnah, there are two opinions. The opinion of the Tanakhama is that you can't move the bricks altogether, and only if the bricks come out on their own, then you're allowed to access the food. Rabbi Meir allows you even to take the bricks out. And again, the question on the table is as follows. I understand, right? You're allowed to take the bricks out, even if they're not mortared together. But still, the bricks should be muksa. So the Gemara's answer is going to be, yeah, generally speaking, you're right. On Shabbos, the bricks would be muksa. But on Yontif, you can move them. Look at Rashi. I'm Rabbi Zera B'Yomtov. Hit Rabbi Meir. Came into Medrabanu Hudasar. Omishum Simchas Yomtov Sharei. Sharei Mutter Bo Ochel Nefesh. Havalel Shabbos Mishum Tolta Karav Nachman. So the Gemara Rashi explains that the distinction between Shabbos and Yontif. Yontif, you have Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif allows you to bypass the Isra of Moksa. Shabbos, you don't have a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. There's no Heter Ochel Nefesh. And so therefore, the Isra of Moksa stands. Okay, Tosos says this a number of times throughout our Masechta. In fact, if you look at the last Tosfos on the Amud, it's a line and a half of Tosfos. Perish the hitiru muksa mishum ochel nefesh avala b'shabbos mekan yeshraya l'ritzbar shepirish le'el detilto muksa hitiru b'yantu mishum ochel nefesh. Tosfos said this a number of times throughout our Masechta, that ochel nefesh allows you to violate certain malachas and yantiv. It also allows you to violate muksa as well, under certain circumstances. So over here, another raya where the Gemara made a distinction. Bricks on Yontif you can move. Again, according to Rabbi Meir. Bricks on Shabbos you can move. What's the difference? Shabbos you have an Isra Muksa. Yontif you also have an Isra Muksa. But Ochel Nefesh can allow you to bypass the Isra Muksa. Okay. Let's just finish reading in the Gemara. Amir Zer, B'Yontif Amar, V'lo B'Shabbos, Anyan Amehachi. The Gemara quotes the Brisa as well. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Af Pochesa, Chatchil. Rabbi Meir allows you to take the bricks away. Even lechatchila menota b'yontov amru avalo b'shabbos, and only on yontov, not on Shabbos. Good. So you have over here a braisa supporting exactly this distinction between yontov and Shabbos. Good. Just quickly recap. So again, our Mishnah is talking about fruit that was in a house. The house was made up of bricks. So according to the Tanakhama, if the bricks fall on their own, you can access the fruit on yontov. According to Rabbi Meir, lechatchila you can take the bricks away. So again, how do you understand either position? Taking bricks away, that's stira so well. That's an Issur D'Oraisa. So the Gemara's answer is the bricks were not mortared together. And because the bricks were not mortared together, so at worst, we're talking now about an Issur D'Rabbanan of deconstruction. According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, still it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. I can't move the bricks of the Chatchila. If the bricks fall, then you're allowed to access the fruit. What about the principle of migu? Migu di skatzai. So again, the chiddush of Rashi that migu di skatzai is only by Yisur deraisa, not by Yisur derabanan. And according to Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah, even lechatchila, one is allowed to pick up the bricks and move them. Bricks are generally muksa. Right. Yeah, but for ochel nefesh, it's okay. Good. That is adkan the explanation of the Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, and from here until the next Mishnah, we're going to deal with a statement made by Shmuel. Chosem shebekarka. Now here we're going to be describing breaking open ties in order to access food. These next lines of Gemara until the next Mishnah are going to have a lot of halacha lamaisa, a lot of practical halacha. Basically, from these Gemaras, we're not going to discuss it because it's not far off the daf, but it takes us away from the daf. But I saw Rabbi Kornfeld. Rabbi Kornfeld has a lengthy discussion in today's daf, tomorrow's daf regarding what you can open on Shabbos and on Yontif, and all that discussion is really revolves around this Gemara because this Gemara is going to talk about opening up. Packages. Although our Gemara is not really going to talk about opening up packages, basically cutting the string. In other words, the string right now is holding the door closed, and now can I cut the string on Shabbos and on Yontif in order to access the food that's underneath? So the Shmuel is going to talk over here in terms of two different types of structures: a chosem shebekarka and a chosem shebekli. Okay, what does that mean? So first, let's take a look at Rashi together. Chosem shebekarka. So what does that mean? Rashi says chosem shebekarka kagon. So it's a door into a pit. In other words, it's basically a horizontal door, right? Anyone who's walked through Manhattan, so you have that picture right in front of the restaurant, right? Those doors, those trap doors that allow you to go down to the basement. Okay, so basically, it's in my mind, that's what I would visualize. And right now, they're tied together. So in other words, I can't get through the door because there's some string, there's some sort of rope that knotted the door down. That is chosem shebekarka. As Rashi will point out in just a moment, Rashi doesn't say it yet, but Rashi points out, that is, once the doorway is going into the ground, that's a binyan. That has the status of a structure, right? Something which is connected to the ground. So we're going to be more machmir, as opposed to a string that's connected to a kli. So as we're going to see, we're going to be more meiko. Let's go back to the Gemara. Chosem shebekarka, if the string is tying down a door that's connected to the ground, matir, you're allowed to untie the string. But you can't cut the string. Shebekalim, if it's a chosem shebekli, if it's a string, a rope, that is tying down a kli utensil, matir, umafkia, v'chotech. There, you can untie, you can cut, you can remove the string. Meaning you could do basically whatever you want to open it up. Echad Shabbos ve'echad Yom Tov. And Shmuel says, and this would be true both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. The Rashi over here, it's an important Rashi. Rashi writes, Avalom afkia, hachevel estor avoso v'gdel aso. You can't undo the string. V'lo chotech. Rashi dehastirahi. Because Rashi says, if it's connected to the ground, that's stira. V'yesh stira bebinyan shel karka. Here's where Rashi says it. Rashi says that if the door is going into a pit in the ground, that is considered a structure of the ground. And that's stira bekarka. And the only thing you could do is untie the string. But to break the string would be breaking the ground, right? Would be breaking something built into the ground, and that's stira. However, look at the next Rashi, shokelim, right? Kigon teva hanu'ula yide kesher. It's a chest that's tied by a string. Chevel matir mafkir v'chotech de'ein stira b'kelim. Rashi says this throughout Shas. And again, another fundamental point of Rashi for today, and that is ein stira b'kelim. Now you can't fault Rashi for saying it because we've seen the Gemara say it time and again. Ein binyan b'kelim, ein stira b'kelim. If you're talking about something that's not connected to the ground, but just a utensil, a chest, a closet, not right, huh? Right, anything that's not connected to the ground, so it has the status of a kli, and therefore there's no building by kelim, there's no steer by kelim. Rashi understands that fundamentally, with no reservation. Tosfos consistently disagrees with Rashi on this point, but right now we're looking at Rashi. Rashi understands it fundamentally, so therefore, if the string is tying down your chest and you want to tear open the string, you want to cut the string, you could do that. That's no problem whatsoever. And that would be true both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. The Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges. Now, again, all this was a statement of Shmuel. So, again, the door is connected to the ground. The only thing you could do to, if there's a string tying it up is only untie the string. You can't cut the string, you can't undo the string. You can only untie the string. When it comes to a string holding holding closed a kli, you could do whatever you want. Untie the string, cut the string, because Rashi says, ain't stira b'kelim. Good. The Gemara then quotes the Braisa, and by the way, I'm sorry, this would be true, both on Shabbos and on Yontif. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, chosem shebekarka b'shabbos matir, avalo mafkia avalo chotech, b'yomtov matir mafkia v'chotech. If I have a string holding closed a door to the ground, so the Braisa says, on Shabbos you can untie it, on Yontif you can even cut it. So you have a Braisa telling us that if it's even bekarka, on Yontif you can cut it. So Hamani Rabbi Meir Damaf Pochesa Chatchila Vanotel Pliga Rabban Allah. So to that Shmuel's defense is very simple. Good, that Braisa is authored by Rabbi Meir. Good, we don't hold like Rabbi Meir. We hold like the Chacham of our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir, remember, Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah allows you to take the bricks away. Okay, but we don't passen like Rabbi Meir. We passen like the Chachamim. And we hold like the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, okay, but you just made a huge assumption. You just assume that because a Chachamim of our Mishnah disagree with Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim would also disagree regarding the strings. And the Chachamim would not allow you to cut the string on a door attached to the ground. The Gemara says, but that's it doesn't seem to be correct. The Hatanya, we have another braisa. Modim Chachamim Rabbi Meir. Bichosam shebekarka shebeshabbos matir v'lo mafkia v'lo chotech biyom tov matir umafkia v'chotech. The braisa could not say it any clearer that on Yontif, according to the Chachamim, you can cut open the string. So you just assumed that the Chachamim were going to argue with Rabbi Meir, and meanwhile that didn't happen. And meanwhile, the braisa couldn't be any clearer that even according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to cut open the string. And the Gemara's response, Hudam or Kiyai Tana. So Shmuel, the Gemara will tell you that Shmuel holds like another Tana. So, in other words, you're right. The braisa we just quoted is not going to be a good defense for Shmuel, but we're going to quote another braisa, and so we have now conflicting braisos. Titania will enter another braisa, we're now on the top of Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. Chosam Shebekarka, Matir V'lo Mafkia V'lo Chotech, Echad Shabbos, V'Echad Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cut a string on a door going into the ground. That is a bin, that's Stira Bekarka. You can't cut it. Neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. Ushebe kli. Now, if it's a string connected to the kli, so then, right, a string holding a chest closed. So be Shabbos matir v'lo mafkir v'lo chotech. So on Shabbos, I can only untie it, but I can't cut it. And be Yomtov matir mafkir v'chotech. And on Yontif, I can untie it, and I can even cut it. Okay, good. Adkan. In other words, so that's our next braisa. And this braisa tells us that the chachamim, even on Yontif, do not allow you, if it's a string that's connected to the ground, to a door of the ground, the Chachamim don't allow you to cut it, because that's stira, and therefore you're not allowed to cut it. Okay, Adkan. So at least now we have a successful defense of Shmuel. Shmuel says that if it's a door connected to the ground, the only thing you could do is untie it. You can't cut it neither on Yontif nor on Shabbos. And if it's a string connected to the door, so Shmuel says you can do whatever you want. You can untie it, you can cut it, no problem whatsoever. And Rashi's explanation is, because ain't stira b'kelim. Okay, here's a problem. Good, we're almost done, and we almost have a full defense of Shmuel. The problem is the braisa we just quoted. The braisa that we just quoted did defend Shmuel, but only half of it. Because the braisa ended off by saying, look at those last two lines of the braisa. When the braisa says, shib a kli, if I have a string that's holding closed a kli, on Shabbos I can untie it, but I can't cut it. What? That's not Shmuel. Shmuel says that if it's a string connected to a kli, holding closed a kli, you can untie it, you can cut it. Because ain't stira b'kelim. So this braisa, which was brought to defend Shmuel, truth of the matter is not defending Shmuel, at least on the point of a string holding closed a kli. So the Gemara immediately jumps on this. okay, the first half of Shmuel now has been defended. His position of strings holding, tying a door connected to the ground. But what about a string tying a chest or any kli? So how come this braisa doesn't allow you to cut it when Shmuel says that you can cut it? The question's on Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "Amani Rabbi Nechemihi, Damer Kol Akirim, and Itam Ela Derech Tashmishad." So the Gemara says, in defense of Shmuel, you know that part of the braisa. You know what that braisa doesn't allow you to cut the string, holding closed the kli. It has nothing to do with stiras kalim. No, fundamentally, the author of that braisa holds that you can cut the string. The problem is a simple problem, a technical problem. Where are you getting the knife from? The author of this braisa is of the opinion that you can't get the knife. Why not? So the Gemara says, because the knife is muksa. Knife is muksa? What? What is that? Meaning, right, you can't cut your meat on Shabbos because the knife is muksa? So the author of the braisa is Rabbi Nechemia. We see Rabbi Nechemia whenever we have a discussion of muksa in the Gemara. Not whenever, but often when we have a discussion of muksa in the Gemara, the Gemara brings in the position of Rabbi Nechemia. We don't hold of Rabbi Nechemia, but he's of the opinion that kalim can be used on Shabbos and on Yontov, but only for their main design purpose. I can't take a kli and use it for any other purpose. So if I have a knife, what do I do with the knife? Rashi explains over here, I cut food with the knife. According to Rabbi Nechemia, the knife can only be used for cutting food. It is muksa for any other purpose.
Can you assign it a purpose before Shabbat?
According to Rabbi Nechemia, I think the answer is no.
An inherent purpose.
Right. And in other words, there's an inherent purpose with a kli, and you can only use it for that inherent purpose. And so therefore, the author of the braisa that doesn't allow you to cut a string, it's not a string issue. It's where am I getting the knife from? The author of this braisa subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Nechemia. So, Rabbi Nechemia, my Yerush Shabbos, if you Yom Tov Nami. So the Gemara says now, good. The author of the braisa is Rabbi Nechemia. Okay. So then, I can't use a knife on Shabbos. I can't use a knife on Yom Tov as well. What would be the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? And maybe what you'll now tell me is that according to Rabbi Nechemia, there's a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. His big chumrah that I can only use a kli for its designated purpose, and I cannot use it for any secondary purpose, maybe that's only a Shabbos chumrah. Maybe that wouldn't be true on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, but I'm telling you, I don't think that's right. I don't think according to Rabbi Nechemia there's a difference. And the Gemara is going to argue based on citing three different braisas. Now they're all going to be very short. Braisa number one, Masikim b'kelim made a Masikim b'shivrei kelim. I can heat an oven up using both utensils and even broken utensils. Tanya idach Masikim b'kelim made b'shivrei kelim. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Let me do that better. Braisa number. I'm sorry. Yeah. I saw. I see my mistake. Braisa number one. Masikin bekalim. I could use kalim as fuel. In other words, I have not shards. In other words, I have the actual dish. So and whatever. I don't need it anymore. Throw it to the fire. But not shivrei kalim. But not shards. That's braisa number one. Tanya idach masikin bekalim bemeshivrei kalim. The second braisa says throw whatever you want into the fire. Kalim that are complete. Kill him that broke on Yontif, it doesn't matter. Throw it all into the fire. And Tanya Irach, Ein Masikin, Lo B'Kelim, Lo B'Shivrei Kelim. And the third braisa says, I can't use Kelim for fuel for the fire, and I can't use Shivrei Kelim as well. And as Rashi points out, no, I'm sorry, first let's do the Gemara. O Mishani Lo Kashi, Ha Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, Ha Rebbe Nechemia. So the Gemara says, three braisas, no problem. In the world of Muksa, we'll take Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Nechemia. The three main shitas regarding muksa. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muksa, right? Rabbi Shimon lets say muksa. So therefore, what will Rabbi Shimon allow you to use to throw into the fire? Anything. Kalim, shivrei kalim, throw it all into the fire. Rabbi Yehuda holds of muksa. So therefore, shivrei kalim, which broke, the kli broke on Shabbos, or on Yontif, I should say. No, I'm not talking about Shabbos. The kli broke on Yontif. Don't throw that in. You didn't have that in mind. But kalim themselves, sure. In other words, they're not muksa. And then the third braisa is going like Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia says, I can only use a kli for its designated purpose. Now, it's true going into Yontif, a kli is not muksa, but only for its designated purpose. But I can take a kli, even though that wooden spoon, I don't want that anymore. You know what, throw it to the fire. Rabbi Nechemia says, no, you can't. You can only use a wooden spoon for its designated purpose. You can't throw it into the fire, even though it's not Shivrei Kalim. So good. So now we have these three brisas, and the Gemara says no problem. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemya. But what do you see from this? You see from this that according to Rabbi Nechemya, his big chumrah is true both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. So the Gemara says, Trei Tanai V'Aliba D'Rabbi Nechemya. So the Gemara says, it's not elegant, but the Gemara says, okay. So we have two versions of Rabbi Nechemya. One version of Rabbi Nechemya is that his big chumrah, that I can only use a kli for its designated purpose, is only for Shabbos, but not for Yom Tov. And another version of Rabbi Nechemya is that his big chumrah is true both by Shabbos and by Yom Tov as well. Okay, so again, now in defense of Shmuel, the Gemara has now fully defended Shmuel. Shmuel says that if the string is tying down a door that's connected to the ground, so then the only thing you can do is you can untie the string. You can't cut the string. Why? Because that'd be stira. That'd be stira so well, you're not allowed to do that. If it's a string tying a kli, tying down the door of a kli, so then you can untie it and then you can even cut it as well. Why? According to Rashi, ain't stira b'kalim, because it's a kli. There's no stira when it comes to kalim. What about the brisa that says that you're not allowed to cut it? The brisa is going like Rabbi Nechemya, but we don't pass like Rabbi Nechemya.
But is having an issue with the utensil using, not the concept itself?
Correct, no? Correct. The concept, in other words, he's fine with the concept itself. Okay, start the next Mishnah. We're on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We are now beginning the next Mishnah. Ein pochasen es aner mimnei shu oseh kli. I have dough. I want to take my fist, punch it into the dough, on yontiv, so that now it has a toch. In other words, I say dough, it's clay. Right? So I want to punch my fist into it now, so that it has now a toch, and so therefore I'll pour a little bit of oil in it, I'll put a wick on top, and we're good, and the Mishnah says you don't do that. We don't do that on yontiv, it's prohibited to do that on yontiv, because you're fashioning a kli, you're making a kli, tikkun mana. So the fine. The ain osim pchamim b'yantav. You're not allowed to make charcoal briquettes on yantav. I don't know how charcoal briquettes are made. Right? They're amazing. They're square. They're perfect. Takes forever to light. But in other words, but you can't make the actual briquettes on yantav. Vein chotzcher as a psila. And you can't cut a wick. In other words, you obviously on yantav you're allowed to burn a fire. You're allowed to transfer a fire. But to actually make the wick, meaning to cut the wick, that you're not allowed to do. Once again, you're making a kli. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chot Chaba, or Rabbi Yehuda says that you can cut it using a fire. Meaning that if the wick is too long, so basically what you'll do is you'll light a fire right in between them, and that will splice it into two. Now, it's going to be a leniency. The Gemara is going to discuss the leniency in just a moment. I mean, you can't put it out. So on one hand, you did successfully cut the wick into two. On the other hand, now you have two burning wicks. Okay, but well, the Gemara is going to discuss that in just a moment. So, mantan de psichas ner manu. But let's start off with the opening line of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says to punch a fist into the clay in order to make it into a kli. You can't do that because that's tikkun kli. That's literally making kli. You can't do that in yantav. So the Gemara says, yeah, making a kli. What are you talking about? You're in the middle of the process, but you didn't finish the process, right? In other words, right? Remember our arts and crafts days back in, you know, back in camp? So so in other words, you have to put it in the oven, you have to fire it up in the oven, meaning all you did was just, you played with a little bit of Play-Doh, but in other words, you didn't finish it yet. That's not a kli. So the Gemara says, so mantan de psichas ner manu, am Rav Yosef Rabbi Meir, he did Tanya. So the Gemara says, yep, yeah, but it's enough. At least according to Rabbi Meir, the Gemara now quotes a Tosefta from Masechta Kelim. Klei Cheres Me'emas Mekabel Tuma. At what point is it Mekabel Tuma? Remember, a Kli is only Mekabel Tuma when it becomes a Kli, when it's a finished product. So now we're talking about Klei Cheres, we're talking about earthenware. So earthenware, so I start off with the clay, and I'm fashioning the clay. So Mishenigmar Amalachso Div Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, when you finish forming it, when you finished fashioning it, at that point in time, it's Mekabel Tuma. And Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Sheet, Safa B'Kivshan. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, when you put it in the oven, and you fire it up, and you harden it, then and only then it's the Kli. So the Gemara says, ostensibly good. So when you look at our Mishnah says, taking your fist, punching it into the clay, in order to form it into a functional lantern, so that's going like Rabbi Meir, which, by the way, works out great, because Tam Mishnah Karebi Meir are so good. So it would be that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. But then what that also means is that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yoshua. And you know the Gemara doesn't like that. You know the Gemara tries to have a Stam Mishnah going like everybody. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. And it's not going like Rabbi Yoshua. But still, even within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, it has to be functional. What functionality does a clay have if all you did was just simply punch your fist into it? So the Gemara says, Kabula Beip Shite. The Gemara says, no, it has functionality. It can hold coins. Okay, the Gemara is now going to give us another version of this discussion. Again, the question comes out to be the same question. What's going on in our Mishnah? You're taking your fist, you're punching it into clay, you're making it now a kli, but it's so rudimentary, it's so basic. That's a kli? And the Gemara's answer is going to be yes. So according to the first version, the answer yes was based on a Tosefta, where our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Now the Ika D'Amri, the Gemara is going to have another version of this discussion. Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadoki. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadoki. Non. Alfasin Charanios Taharos Ba'ol Ames. Utameos Bimasa Hazav. So first off, what are we even talking about? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Rashi's second wide line towards the Amud. So Mefarish Lakaman Ka'arashol B'nei Ayaros. These are plates. Plates of the villagers. They're not fancy. Villagers aren't fancy people, and their plates are very simple. She'enam b'nei krachim gedolim ve'enam akvidim al kelim na'im. Rashi writes, they don't care about nice kelim. Umishenifshata ha'ka'ara, and once the clay is flattened out, so then shalcheres ochlim ba'basar. Good, let's eat on it. Ve'en mamtinen ad she'tichakek v'titzarei b'kivshan. And we're not etching out the edges, and we're not throwing it into the oven. Meaning, the moment that the clay is flattened out, so the villagers say, "Okay, we're not fancy people. We're going to use it." So now the Mishnah here is telling us that it's taharos be'olal ames. So if such a plate is in a room with a mace, it's not going to become tame. Why not? Rashi writes, Taharos ba'ol ha'meis, Delagabe ol ha'meis be'inan toch l'kli cheres. So Rashi over here tells us a chiddush in the world of Tum and Tahara. And that is that, we're talking about kli cheres, by the way, we're not talking about wood. But still, Rashi says, for ol ha'meis, kli cheres has to have a toch. It has to have an inside. How do I know that? Rashi quotes the pasuk from Parshas Chukas, v'chol kli pasuach, mashma di'esh la'pesach. So Rashi says that in order for a kli cheres to become tummy with Tumas Ohel, it needs a toch. That's not true, next Rashi, when it comes to Tumas Masa Hazav. When a Zav carries something, kli cheres does not need a toch. Look at the next Rashi. Shazav metame kli cheres beheset. We know that a Zav is metame, he transmits Tuma, even just by shaking an item. Just shaking a kli. Now it can be done externally. That means that there's no requirement of toch. And Rashi points out, now there's a technical distinction by kli cheres regarding Oel Hames versus Tumas Zav. Right. But still, the overarching point is that plate, even though the only thing that happened is as it was flattened out, it's now subject to Tumah. Fine. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah Nadios. So Afas and Charonis, Taronis, Oel Hames, and Tumas Bemas Zav, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzedek, Omer, after Horus Bemas Zav, Lefish Lo Nigmar, Amalachtan, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzedek says it's going to not even be subject to Masa Azav because it is not Nigmar Amalachtan. Its work has not been completed. Good. So the and right, and the Mishnah
agrees.
Yeah, our Mishnah would agree. Okay, good. So. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amalei Abay Damad Kanlo Kamer Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzadik Hashem Ela Dechazel Kabula BeMidi." Avahach Lamai Chaze. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but there's got to have some usefulness to it." So again, the Gemara says the same answer: "La Kabula BePshita." You could put coins in it. You can't fashion the nair, like we just described, by putting your fist into the clay. And you can't make alfasin charanios. I know we just described that. B'yomtov, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, matir b'alfasin charanios. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, you can make these plates on yomtov. My charanios, the Gemara says, what is that? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, aranios. Okay, my aranios. I'm Abaye, tsa'i chaklasai. Plates of the villagers, like we just described, where they're just simple and they're flattened out, and it's really straightforward. It's really simple. The enosim chamim. Now that we go back to the Mishnah, we're going to be discussing now the next part of the Mishnah, which is that you're not allowed to make briquettes, charcoal briquettes. Why not? So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara doesn't say why not. The Gemara says pshita. That's obvious. Okay, it's not so obvious. In other words, it's not really a kli. So the my chazi tani Rabbi Chia lo nitzucha ela la mosrim leul yarin lebobayam. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. We're good. So the Gemara says, "Lamai Chazi, what are they fit for?" Tani Rabbi Chia lo nitzucha ela la mosrim leul yarin lebobayam. So the Gemara says, they give it to the bath attendants. In other words, the briquettes are going to be useful on Yontif, and the reason why you can't make the briquettes on Yontif is because you're making a functional kli. And why is it a functional kli? Because you give it to the bath attendants. Gemara says, give it to the bath attendants. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take a bath on Yontif, you're not allowed to take a bath on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a bath on Yontif. I know we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, but in other words, from the Gemara standpoint, you're not allowed to heat up water. For sure, on Shabbos, it's a malacha. Even on Yontif, it's going to be prohibited. The argument we made earlier in the Masechta, it's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Okay? But in other words, you're not allowed to heat up water to take a bath on Shabbos on Yontif. So what are we even talking about? Who the bath attendant's not going to take the briquettes? So Kedama Rav Alazi, Avakodim Gzera, Hachanam Alazi, Avakodim Gzera. So the Gemara says, yeah, but taking a bath on Shabbos and on Yontif is prohibited. But going to the Shvitz, that is okay on Shabbos. Bizmanenu, it's not okay. But there was once upon a time where the Shvitz was okay. A sauna. Basically, they had a sauna. They would put briquettes on the bottom. They would heat up the water. You wouldn't go into the bath water. All you would do is you just go in there and you would Shvitz in. And that, at one point in time, was okay. The Chachamim ended up making a gzer on that as well. But at least historically that was okay, and that's what our Mishnah is describing. And that's why it would be prohibited. Okay. Ein chotchen es apsila l'shnayim. You can't cut a wick into two because that's making a clean, then you're not allowed to do that. That's what our Mishnah taught us. Maishna b'saken delo, dekam misaken mana. Now, clipping it with a knife and scissors is no good because you're now making the wicks into a functional clean. But b'or namika misaken mana. Okay, so what's the difference between cutting it with the scissors or lighting it on fire right in the middle, cutting it into two? So Tani Rabbi Chia Chot Chabor Bifi. I'm sorry. Nami Kamisakin Mana Tani Rabbi Chia Chot Chabor Bipish De Neiros. So the Gemara says, and meanwhile we have a brisa by Rabbi Chia. I could take a long wick. I can have one wick going into one kli. I can have another wick going into another kli. Light it right in the middle. That you're allowed to do on Yontif. The Gemara is basically asking, what's the difference? Amrav Nasam Barab Amrav. I'm sorry. That's it. Rashi. Sorry. Rashi is going to tell us what the difference is. Second Rashi on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. Rashi writes, No sin shnei rasha besoch shnei neros. Im tzarech la'adlikam ka'achas. U'madlik be'emso. Rashi writes, why is that okay? De lo muchach de l'tkune mana mekavein ela lahadlaka ba'alma. So I'm just going to translate the words of Rashi. Rashi says it's not self-evident that I'm looking to actually cut the wick. With the way that this could be perceived is that I'm just simply lighting the nair, which you're allowed to do on Yontif. Even though ostensibly what's going to be happening, of course, is that the wick is now going to be cut into two. And one wick will serve for this nair, and the other wick will serve for that nair. Yes, it's true that it's going to be a residual effect, but that's not my intent. Now, it is interesting. I'm thinking the same thing myself. In other words, even though that's not your intent, but you know that's what's going to happen, so it's psik reishe, right? Correct. So Rashi doesn't address it.
Right,
but still psik. Even if it's a Dov Shalom Iskaben, it's still psik Risha. It's still what you, that's your intent. And so I just will simply say.
Is he really benefiting from it?
Yeah, of course. Now he's got two wicks. He's got two functional wicks. Yeah, right. Cool. Well, you now have one lamp here in this room, and the other lamp in another year. So okay. So I need a better understanding of Rashi. I'm deficient in my understanding of Rashi, but fine. Okay, I'm sure it's understandable, just not by me. Amar Avnasim Barab Amar Av Mochtin Es Apsila B'Yamtov. So the Gemara quotes another halacha when it comes to wicks, and that is Mochtin Es Apsila. Now, what exactly does that mean? So that's the Gemara's next question. My Mochtin Amar Avchenin Bar Shamaya La Aduye Chushcha. Okay, again, these are helpful if you understand. Rashi writes, Laduye Choshcha, Lahasir, Rashi, Laduye Lahasir, Choshcha, Pechem HaMachshich Ora. You know that when you have a wick that's already been used, so there's a lot of schmutz on the top of the wick. So basically what you want to do is you want to trim the top of the wick so that the next time you light it's going to be good. So the Gemara says, Anyantav, you're allowed to do that. Tani Bar Kapara. So now, obviously, we're deep into wick discussion. So now, let's round it up for today. Let's talk about the wicks. Vav dvarim namru bepsila. Six halachas we're going to say today regarding wicks on yantiv. Gimel lahachmer v'gimel lahakel. We're going to have a balance. Three halachas are going to be machmer. Three halachas we're going to be mekel lahachmer. The three halachas that we're going to be machmer on is ein golan asolah chatchila b'yamtov. One is not allowed to twist the wicks on yantiv lechatchila. So Rashi over here says. No, Rashi does not say. So the assumption is you're making a wick, like our Mishnah says. You can't fashion a wick. You can't start it up on Yantiv. In other words, the practice is that they would light the wick, they would quickly blow it out, and that way the next time you light them, it's going to be easier to do that. You can't do that with a wick on Yantiv. And you can't cut it into two. So those are the three halachas when it comes to wicks that are lechumra. You can't twist a wick. You can't start the wick up and then blow it out. And you can't cut it into two. And lahakel, and then we have three halachas that were makel when it comes to wicks. Number one, memacha biyad. Let's say with the wick, remember, the wicks were like basically cotton balls. And okay, so you can't twist it. But just flatten it out a little bit, that you could do. Vishar b'shem, and you could soak in oil. V'chotcha ba'or b'pishtei neros. And if you have the wicks where one end is in one lamp and another end is another lamp, you can light it right in the middle. And yes, even though you're going to be cutting it in half, but as we just pointed out earlier, that you're allowed to do. Six halachas when it comes to wicks, three were mekel, and three were machmer.
One we use on the Erev Shabbos, where you always light it first.
Well, you're good.
This way,
right, but correct. That's Mahavivin, and that's before. Correct, correct. Amrav Nasim Bar Abba, Amrav Atire Bavel Yorde Gehenim Him. Rav Nasim Bar Abba says in the name of Rav that the wealthy people of Bavel are destined for Gehenim. Kiha de Shabtai by Marenos. So the Gemara gives an example, an illustration, an anecdote. So Igla Bavel. So Shabtai by Marenos went to Bavel by Minai Iska. So what he wanted to do is, he needed money, he wasn't asking for a handout, he wanted a simple business venture. In other words, he would take merchandise from the wealthy people in Bavel, he would go out, he would sell them, he would split on the profit, okay, a simple business venture. V'lo yavulei, so, and they wouldn't give it to him. In other words, it sounds like, obviously the Gemara is condemning, which means that they had it within their ability to do so, and they refused to do so anyway. Mizone, he then asked for food. Okay, you're not going to give me business? All right, so now I'm stuck. Now I got to ask for a handout. They wouldn't give him that as well. Amar hani me'erev rav. So he arrived at the conclusion. Okay, there's a genetic issue going on over here. He says they are descendants of the Erev Rav. Erev Rav, the collection of Egyptians that came out with us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, they obviously were interested in self-preservation. But they did not have the same, they did not have midos. And so he comes to the conclusion, these are descendants. Now, how literally to take his statement, I don't know, but okay, that's the Gemara. Correct. Ki asa dichsiv, v'nasla charecha mecha v'richamecha. So the, and he quotes the pasuk from Dvarim. So the pasuk says, that you have to have compassion. Anyone who has compassion on others, so that means that he's a descendant of Avram Avinu. And if you not have compassion on others, you're not Mizera Shel Avram Avinu. So the Gemara here does talk about the genetics of chesed, that there is some sort of gene that's passed down from generation to generation, where you know you see someone has rachmanas, you know he's from Zera Shel Avram. If you're looking to somebody else's table, meaning rachman l'tzlan, you can't support yourself and you need others to support you, so you live in a world of darkness. Shenamar no deidu l'alechem aye yada. The person is wandering out around looking for food, asking where it's going to be. So the entire world for him is darkness. He's in the dark. Rechista says you can go one step further. You can say that his life is just not worth. It's not worth it. It's not a life. The Gemara speaks about three people who just live in a misery and their lives are not lives. Someone who looks forward to eat at somebody else's table, cannot support himself, needs a handout, so his life is a misery. Your wife dominates you. The Gemara says that's a misery. And Misha Yisurin Moshlin Begufo. And if you have physical pain, if you live with pain, the Gemara says it's a misery. And then some put on the list, you own one garment. You have one suit, that's a misery. Now why is that such a misery? Okay, you own one suit. That's so bad? So, right, correct. So the Rashi points out, but it's going to be self-evident from the Gemara coming up. It's because it's going to get infested. And then you're going to live with an infestation, and it's going to be itchy, and it's going to be terrible. The Tanakhama doesn't add this to the list, meaning he keeps his list nice and trimmed at three things. He doesn't add this to the list. Why not? The Tanakhama, after the Ma'ayim B'Maneh, because Tanakhama says, because what you could do is you could wake up every morning, you could check your clothing, see if there's any lice in the clothing, you could delouse. In other words, you could survive, and somewhat comfortably, even with one set of clothing. But the three previous things that were mentioned in the list, Chayim ain't a chayim. It's a misery, and there's nothing could do about it. Danny, you should take this Gemara. You should hang it on the front of your office. All right, don't live with pain. So the okay, the all right, I correct. Only right. But still, okay, good. All right. So today we went from Mishnah to Mishnah. We talked about the destruction of a house to access food. The Mishnah says that if the wall falls on its own, you can access the food. What about migudis katsai ben ashmashos? It's katsai kulayomai. So Rashi gives us today chiddush gadol, major chiddush, which is that the principle of migud doesn't apply to yisuri derabanan. It only applies to yisuri daraisa. Okay, tosfos questions at chiddush, and then we talked about accessing food in general. We made a distinction. Shmuel made a distinction between a door connected to a house versus a door connected to a chest. Door connected to a chest. Shmuel says you can do whatever you want to get the food, even to cut it open. Okay, and this impacts a lot of halacha lamaisa regarding opening packages on Shabbos and on Yantiv. I strongly recommend take a look at Rabbi Kornfeld today on his website, where he discusses it in detail. And then finally, the last thing we discussed today was making kalim. Talked about making a kli for a ner. Talked about the wicks. We had six halachas today regarding wicks. And then other statements about people whose lives are just living in a world of misery. Adkan.